was going to the cross. And today Jesus brings to us a very interesting and very pertinent topic on marriage and resurrection. I think many of us sometimes still ask this question, what happened to us, for those of us who are married, what happened in heaven? Well, today you may have a glimpse of the understanding, but you can look forward to the great reunion together with our Lord Jesus Christ himself. So this is what we are going to look at on this topic of marriage and also resurrection. You see, marriage features a very prominent place in the Bible. Do you realize that God actually designed and God is the one that gives you the design for the marriage. And for the great reason that he has a purpose for the marriage on earth. Even right from day one, Genesis, we know that the husband and wife were put together. Adam and Eve, they were joined together as one. As a covenant that God has sealed and cannot be broken till death do us part. And for the great purpose of giving us a satisfaction, a good life here, the man and woman enjoying the life here on earth, as much as fulfilling the purpose of God to go and procreate it and expand the kingdom of God, to disciple their children and to bring up the children to expand the kingdom. So you see, the marriage is a very, very special place in the heart of God. And it's the first strategy he has to expand his kingdom through the family. And of course, at the end of the Bible, if you go to Revelation, again, the picture of marriage come in. That is how it begin to work into your marriage. And then you look forward to that wonderful supper of the Lamb, the wedding with our Lord, the church, and Jesus Christ. So you can see that marriage actually is a way for us to even look at our faith, that what God has designed, just using marriage as an example, there's something that has come into this world that God designed for you to be in a marriage and a family and to look forward to the fullness of what is to come in heaven. So today is a very, very important topic for us, not just for marriage, but our life actually. It's about life in the kingdom of God. That just one aspect of the kingdom of God. It penetrates into all areas of our life actually. And also resurrection, of course. Resurrection is a very important. Without resurrection, there is no Christianity. So there's no doubt that we believe in resurrection. But now this practical question comes to us. What about marriage and resurrection? What happened to husband and wife? How do they relate to each other? How does family relate each other when you go to heaven that day? Well, we are going to learn something today. But what I want us to show is what Jesus has for us. To show us what the kingdom of God is like. That this life, he used the marriage as an example to illustrate that something has happened in this world. The spiritual, the supernatural has come into the marriage, into the life of us to prepare us for that wonderful, perfect completion of the kingdom of God life in heaven. So let's go to the scripture. Taken from Matthew chapter 22, verse 23 to 33. That same day, the Sadducees, same day is on Tuesday. Yeah, we have said this many times. On Tuesday was a very busy day that Jesus taught about the parables and then answered questions being confronted by the Sadducees, by the Herodians, last week's sermon, and also today by the Sadducees. They came the same day that now, Tuesday, the Sadducees turn now. He came, who say there is no resurrection. You see, Sadducees, one of the things, the characteristic of Sadducees, they don't believe in resurrection. They came to him with a question. Teachers, they say, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Now, there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died. And since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and the third brother, right down to the seven. All the seven brothers died. Finally, the woman died. Wow, this woman, very long life, right? Seven. Cannot happen, right? It's not possible. It's a story, all right? Don't take it literally, please. Okay, there's nothing supernatural here, okay? Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven? Since all of them were married to her. Wow, how are you going to answer that? That's a very tricky question. We'll look at this, all right? But this is a question posed to Jesus. And look at how Jesus responds. Jesus replied, you are in error. Oh, something not right with your thinking already. Because you do not know the scripture and the power, all the power of God. Now, this is very important for us. Do you know the power of God or not? At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in the heaven. But about the resurrections of the dead, now, this is the crux of the issue Have you not read what God has said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowd heard this, they were astonished, amazed at his teaching. Well, I hope we'll get amazed as well at the end of it, like the crowd, and look forward to that wonderful heaven that God has prepared for us. Okay, let's go into this. So the Sadducees came to Jesus, right? They came on that Tuesday, and they don't believe in resurrection. It's stated, therefore, it's a very important statement there. Because I want you to understand who came. Now, in those days, the Jews are under different authority. Yes, they are under the Romans, and the Romans give it to King Herod to rule them on that as a political party. So there are Herodians. Last week we heard about Herodians and the Pharisees came to question Jesus about the authority and paying tax, right? Today we come with the Sadducees. There is a different, marked difference between Pharisees and Sadducees that is good for you to know, because when you read the Bible, sometimes you'll be scratching your head, what is happening here? There is a big difference between their ideology or their belief between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees are the upper class, rich, the most rich people, a minority group. But they are the one that hold the power. And the one that hold even the religious power in the temple. And usually the high priest and all these high office are held by the Sadducees. So be surprised, a minority, and yet they are the elite who holds the power in the religious affair of the temple and the people. Whereas the Pharisees are the more representative of the common people. And they concentrate on the teaching interpretation of the law. So there's a difference between them. And one key difference between the two of them, Sadducees don't believe in resurrections or even the supernatural. But the Pharisees believe that. So they always argue. There's always, you read, the Pharisees and the Sadducees will argue, and they antagonize each other on that. So this is what the group is. The Sadducees came this time. They are the one that actually hold the real power in the religious affair of the people. And so they came to ask a very, very absurd question, in fact. A question to cause trouble, not with sincere seeking of understanding. They were just trying to play a trick on Jesus. They came with this bad faith, in fact, I call it bad faith, absurd question. That they give an illustration, you have been asked this question. There is this story given to you as well. A widow married 7 brothers, and all the brothers died. And then she was the last one. So when they go to, if there is resurrection, the Sadducees say, so when they go to heaven, what happened? Whose wife will she be at the resurrection? Now, they're not simply giving a story without basis. They actually refer to this inheritance law and preservations of family inheritance in Deuteronomy. If you read, this is actually a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 to 6, that concerns the family line in Israel and the continuation of family line. Now, this is a very important law. You know why? Remember, Abraham was given 3 blessings, right? He's going to have children, progeny. He's going to have land. And he's going to have the promise and presence of God to go with him. Those are the threefold blessing of Abraham that we receive today. You always have that, you know, that God is going to be with you. You're going to have a place to live and have your being. Yeah. So the land, so that's why you go to Israel, you can see the inheritance of law very clear. Promised land are divided into all the tribes and then is inherited. And the family that own the land continue to own it. You don't take away from them, because every jubilee, whatever before that you owe each other, you cancel debts, or it comes back to the normal. Everything back to normal. You have this land, you always have this land. That's why the first son and all this, the inheritance line are very important. So this is what it's actually about. So this inheritance land and law is actually in place in Israel to keep God's promise to all the Israelites. You always have land. Well, this is correct, but look at this. Question is really, really not in good faith. It's actually, they're trying to set up Jesus now. It is actually a pet question they have. You see, often when they argue with people, especially the Pharisees, I believe they pose this question, hey, what happened to her? And the Pharisees will be dumbfounded, don't know how to answer. Do you know how to answer? Well, you may not know how to answer as well, right? And they always win the debate and argument. They are very happy with this question. Everywhere they go, they just throw this question, Gautim. No argument, right? No resurrection. Not possible. So this is actually what happened. They came to Jesus with this pet question. Because you see, when you look at the Sadducees, they don't believe in resurrection, and not only that, they don't believe in supernatural power. They believe that when you die, your soul dies with you, you just disappear. There's nothing about talking about life after death. The Sadducees, in fact, if you go to Acts, very interesting interaction that I just tell a little bit of story, if you don't mind, about Paul here. Paul said that in Acts chapter 23, verse 8, the Sadducees say there is no resurrection and there are neither angels nor spirits. See, they don't believe in the supernatural. And that is what they rely their understanding on. Now, Paul said this, you know, this is a very interesting part to show the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Paul, in Acts chapter 23, was brought before the Sanhedrin. Ananias, the high priest, a Sadducee. And in fact, at first, Ananias gets someone to slap him, right? And then Paul got upset and tried to talk back to against him. Then realized he's the high priest. Then Paul said he told his line. You know, you have to respect the high priest. But then when he looked around, the council, you know, he was being judged by like a law court. And sitting on the law court, there's not just Sadducees, especially the high priest, but there are also Pharisees among them. So what did Paul do? Paul straight away tell them, look, I'm a Pharisee. And I come from the descendant of Pharisees. I am a Pharisee, telling the Pharisees there. And I've been sentenced here. I've been judged before you for what? For believing in the resurrection of the dead. That's why I'm being judged. Wow, that gives them a headache now because the two of them will not agree. They have big argument, you go and read. So much so that they couldn't settle Paul's thing and has to let him go. And this is a key difference between Pharisees and Sadducees on resurrection. But it's more than that. Look at how Jesus responds to them. Jesus straight away tell them, look, you are wrong. You are in error. Point blank. No. Went for the jar. Because you do not know your scripture. Can you imagine telling the highest religious authority, you do not know your scripture or the power of God. You don't realize what God is doing here. And the worst, you don't read the full scripture. You see, the Sadducees, they only rely their teaching and understanding on the first five books, the Torah. They don't believe the whole, all the other things are commentary to them. It is not the Bible for them. Their Bible only has five books. So they were in error when they interpret. They never read the whole counsel of the scripture. But the worst is that they don't believe, they don't understand the power of God. And it's something I want us to think about. Do you believe in the supernatural power of God in your life? Or do you always see things with the physical, interpret things with your physical mind, with your own physical understanding? Don't leave room for God who is all-powerful, who performs miracles, who do all the great wonders that He decides to do, He will do it. That is something to think about. Because what is happening there, Jesus is trying to bring in the understanding of the kingdom of God life here. That marriage even, there is a supernatural element of marriage. It's not just physical. Not that you come together and live this life, build a good family, have good children, and make sure they are well taken, and they are well taken after you go away. It's more than that. It's more than that. Your marriage here and your family has something to do with the supernatural that is to come in that wonderful way as a preparation for you to look forward to. So it's all of our life here that is a supernatural. We are not physical beings, actually. We are spiritual. That is something we need to think and believe. We become a human being not because you got a body. It's just body. It's when the Holy Spirit comes into you. And it is by the breath of the Holy Spirit that we are alive. And when sin came in, that breath departed. And when you become a child of God, like today we receive baptism, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're being now governed your life. You surrender to God, Jesus our Lord, and Holy Spirit, you become spiritually alive again to God. Then you can hear God, you can know God, you can live with God. This is something to think about. But today is on marriage. Marriage is just one aspect of this power of God that has come to us. And the Bible clearly talks about resurrection now. This is very important, resurrection. Because we are living the resurrected life even now as we are raised. Just now when you're baptized to the death, you are raised to life with the power of the resurrection of Christ. The Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit has come into you to give you the spiritual power to live. Spiritual power is not a power, but you see God, you know God, you trust God, and the Holy Spirit works in you and through you. Psalms clearly, I mean, the Bible full of scripture to talk about the dead will rise. Psalm 16:10, you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. No way. Isaiah 26 verse 19, but your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. We are going to shout for joy. So there is really no argument in the scripture of the Old Testament. There is really in resurrection. And so, but the question is, there's no marriage in heaven. Now, Jesus came to attend to their question of marriage. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now, Jesus is bringing in a teaching for us here about the kingdom of God life. We're living in the kingdom of God life here. But when you go there, when the fullness of the kingdom of God life is manifested, everything becomes perfect, there's actually no need of marriage, Jesus actually is telling us, at resurrection. Not that you, marriage is not important, but no longer. You see, you'll be like the angels. Marriage is no longer necessary or needed. Marriage was designed by God on earth for a great plan and purpose to give us fulfillment of our physical needs, our relationship that we need to relate to Him, to relate to one another. And the family is the first place of training that you really come to learn to relate well to others. And also to take care of the children, to disciple them, to bring them up to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a discipleship ground for us in family. There's an expansion of kingdom purpose to expand. That is what family is for here. But in heaven, do you need it? No. Everything complete. You don't need to do evangelism there. You don't need to bring up your children in the love and knowledge. They also know the love and knowledge of Christ in the fullness. Like our Lord Himself, become one with God, totally knowing God. You see Him face to face. So there's no need of marriage. Jesus is trying to tell us, hey, this is kingdom of God here. I'm telling you, this is what I'm telling you now. But hey, in future, when you go there, there's no need, there's no more marriage or be given. Not that it's not important, but it's the role. And what is being replaced is something supernatural, something even amazing for you, that you are going to have this transformed, eternal, perfect, spiritual family that you cannot understand, and you'll be so happy when you actually don't worry about whether your husband, you still know each other well, yeah, of course. But the relationship has shifted. Your whole being has been shifted to a full spiritual being, a full spiritual environment with totally come back to know God fully and one another in that wonderful, wonderful way. And so he said, there's no marriage, actually. So if you're thinking about marriage, well, that's what Jesus said. Well, in heaven, there's no longer any need for it. But you'll be transformed in your relationship of a marriage and family to a much, much more satisfying one and perfect one. Now, come back to the real questions, because Jesus knows they were trying to be funny there. The whole thing that the Sadducees came is not about marriage. It's about resurrection that they don't believe in. They try to put a point to Jesus, look, I got you. You can tell me, is there a resurrection? So Jesus said, about the resurrection of the dead now. Have you not read what God said to you? Your scripture now. Go back to your scripture. Very interesting. That's how Jesus always responds with scripture. That's how we need to do. Always go back to scripture. If you're going to settle anything, look at the word of God. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God never have anybody who die. Everybody live one. Anybody that comes to God and with God and live with God is alive. You never die. And this is what, in fact, this is actually in their scripture because they believe in the Torah, and Exodus is one of the book, right? So Jesus took them to Exodus chapter 3 verse 6 when Moses at the burning bush, that was a scripture given to him. That when God revealed to him, say, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob, I'm the God of the living. Look at, actually, if you look at the counter, the parallel passage, usually always read the scripture, not just like Matthew talk about it, Mark or Luke, all this, they may have a similar parallel. Go and study that as well. You get different aspect and learn a bit more things, actually. So when you do study of the Bible, don't just You know, when we read a Bible passage, always read before, after, to get the whole context and to interpret according to what Paul was trying to tell, who are the audience and all this. But parallel passages are very useful. And this one, Luke actually make it even clearer for us. But in the account of the bush, Luke wrote, even Moses showed that the dead rise. Straight away, this is added. Even the dead rise. And because God is the God of the living, not of the dead. And what is it? For God, everyone is alive. So is Abraham, so is Isaac, so is Jacob. They never die. I'm the God of the living. When they come to me, they are alive. They're not dead. I'm not God of the dead people. All of us, our God is the God of the living. We are alive before Him when we go to heaven. So this is very clear. And this is something that I think the, in fact, when you go and read Luke again, the Pharisees were laughing away. They were so happy. It's even noted for us that the Pharisees were so happy with Jesus' answer. Can you imagine the antagonism between the two groups? Well, come back to us. Resurrection is true. When the crowd heard this, they were astonished at His teaching. They were astonished. We will be resurrected. Well, we will not be astonished that the fact that resurrection is true for us, isn't it? Because for us, it's such a plain, simple facts today. When we have the whole scripture, after Jesus has rose, resurrected, resurrection is not an issue for us. That is so clear in John that we are told, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And of course, we have given the assurance in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, that a favorite passage quoted at wake and funeral, that when Jesus come again, the loud trumpet will come, archangel will come, and the dead will rise first, and then we who are still alive will follow, right? The great reunion. No doubt about that. But do you believe, do you understand the power of God of the resurrection for our life in this kingdom here and the kingdom to come? Now, that is important. And in marriage, we have a glimpse of it today. Let me take you to it, that the application about marriage and heaven. So some practical questions that we all ask, will there be marriage and earthly family unit in heaven? How will we relate to each other? Well, you probably have some answers by now. That we know there's no longer marriage necessary, required in heaven. No marriage is for this life. That's why God made it clear. The union that you come together in a covenant that cannot be broken, not through illness or sickness, through pain, through joy, through riches, to poorer, but till death do you part. When you die, that marriage is annulled. Even here. So that is something that marriage is really made here, not in heaven. But the implication is that when you go there, that marriage relationship has shifted. We have gone to a perfect spiritual union of marriage between Christ and the church. And in fact, if you look at Ephesians, the teaching of marriage, how you build a strong by submitting to the Lord, husband loved the wife as Christ loved the church. It's a model for us. And this is what happened in marriage when we are finally married, fulfilled in Christ coming again. When the church is married to Christ, that is perfection. But on earth, that is the model you begin to imitate. And you do it by surrendering. When you surrender, you always read that. Wife, submit to the husband as you submit to the Lord. Not submit to the husband, full stop, please. Don't stop there. Submit to the Lord. What it means that you become a spiritual being. The Holy Spirit has come into you. When I talk about Holy Spirit before that, right? Go and read Ephesians again. That this world is full of all this. But be filled with the Spirit, not with wine. And that means that you become a full spiritual being. You begin to sensitize to God. You let the Holy Spirit govern and direct and fill you with what God's thoughts, what God's will, what God's decision, what God's wisdom. Not of this world. And this is what happened here. We are going to have that perfection. But here, build your family on that. Build your marriage on that model given to us. We become spiritual. Open our eyes to see God and live with God. Family, earthly family life is no longer needed. The earthly family, as I said earlier, shifted to the perfect spiritual family of the church with Jesus. The physical needs of earthly family, all these physical needs and all satisfaction from that, and the procreation, discipleship, no longer necessary in heaven. But here, please, is how we focus on led by the Spirit. Don't neglect this. God has a purpose for the marriage and the family here. And earthly family bonds are not forgotten. We can never forget each other. We'll love each other even more. That's the beauty of it. That we will recognize and have relationship with our earthly family. The difference that the emphasis has moved to a more fulfilling and perfect. Here, our family is never perfect. Our marriage never perfect. But don't lose heart. It is a time for us to learn, to grow, to be more spiritual, to be filled more by the Holy Spirit. That is what all the troubles we go through are for. To mature us in Christ, to strengthen us in our marriage, to make us stronger in Christ. That this is what we can understand. Here is not full yet. Please don't look for the perfect wife or perfect husband or perfect children. But work into it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Power of God, not your own strength. Do you believe in the supernatural or not? And this is what we are looking at. Worry about losing your marriage or spouse? No, don't. We have this perfect, wonderful one, satisfying one, waiting for us. As I say, this whole thing, we are coming to a close of the book of Matthew very soon. And the book of Matthew is really Jesus trying to teach us this understanding of the kingdom of God life. Now we know that we enter the kingdom of God. When we give our hearts to Jesus, he became the king and he reigned in us, in our hearts. Yeah, it's not a physical place. And that is the good news. Jesus said, I come and bring the good news. The good news is that the kingdom of God has come. There's a new life that has come. There's a new ruling that has come into your life. That you come under authority of God himself. And you're going to live this kingdom life that is supernatural. And that's why Sermon on Mount is not that you can fulfill today. It's actually a portrait of the perfect Christ himself fulfilling all those things. Not us, but it's a be perfect as I'm being perfected. You are to yearn towards that perfection. The kingdom of God become more and more. The perfection, you actually, when you the more you live the kingdom, the more you obey God, the more you experience the fulfillment and the joy and the power and the peace of the kingdom life that Jesus promised. So marriage is and family is a foreshadow of a better thing to come. All our life here, not just marriage, I say marriage today is the example, but all our life is a foreshadow of that perfect things to come. And we need to understand that so that we can live here and see that the power has been given to us, the power of God is to be spiritual, again, not physical, governed by the Holy Spirit, God himself. And this is what happened, kingdom of God on earth. I want to bring this concept to close. Some of you may have known this, but allow me to share, this is more teaching here. Kingdom of God on earth and in heaven, do you know? Jesus said, I bring the kingdom. He bring, but it's not fulfilled yet, right? But the kingdom of God, Jesus actually has already done everything and is already fulfilled in heaven. But the timing of it is not today, not yet. We are still going through a phase on earth where we live the kingdom of God life. But not everything is perfect. That's why you don't get perfect. You don't always get all the wishes or thing that I just don't want to get sick. I don't have trouble in my life. I don't want to have all this. Because it's yet to come, the fulfillment, the full kingdom. But today, you begin to have the power of God that penetrate into from heaven to give you the ability to live, already beginning to experience that goodness and fullness of life that Jesus talked about. So, there is this term already, not yet. It's the theological term to say that, understand that kingdom of God has come, but it's not fulfilled fully. You wait for Jesus come again, the total manifestation of the perfection of this life that Jesus talked about, of kingdom, of Sermon on the Mount, is before you. You'll be living that Sermon on the Mount like Jesus, because you'll be one with the Father, like Jesus is one, totally one, fully known, fully understand, fully. That is what we are growing towards here. That is what sanctification is. When you set yourself apart for God, it is to work towards that oneness with God. But it's not going to be complete here until we come. So that is something. Life on the kingdom of earth is just a foreshadow of the perfect life to come. So you see that in our life, we will not have that perfect marriage or perfect health or perfect, but the power of God is real. When we face trouble, God relieves us. God provides ways out. God heals us. God helps us in supernatural way. Miracles happen in our life. we cannot understand, but it happens because we, our eyes is set on the super God himself. And this is something we take great joy, the sovereignty of God, that we are totally secure, totally well in this place, while we look forward to that perfect body, perfect family, perfect marriage to come. But don't live with an over-realized eschatology. That means you run ahead. I want the fullness, the health and well gospel. I will always be rich. I will never have a problem with poverty. I will never have a problem with health. Don't do that. The time is the Lord. He is the sovereign God. But take joy that we live well here. Despite illness, we are not sick. Now, Dr. Lee will know what I mean. Despite illness, we are not sick. Illness is a condition the body is really unwell. It's the feeling of being unwell. You are sick with a disease, illness. Sickness is the role sanctioned by the society, how you function in your illness. Many of us, even though when we are ill, I have a flu, so what? I go to work. Don't be taken down by illness here. God is with you. His power is with you. Allow me to share a little testimony on myself. I don't usually do that, but I felt just now. You know, the last few months, I've been sick quite a bit. Yeah, after my birthday, Siong Kui took me for durian and all this. That one, eat dim sum and durian. My goodness, I never eat so much. The next day I woke up, I was sick actually. My cervical, actually I got an injury many years ago, right? The accident, the neck. Actually my cervical bone and the lumbar also got crushed. But usually okay. But that morning when I wake up, wow, the pain. And then I started having sore throat. Yala. It's a very bad influence. Gluttony. Sin of gluttony that day. Repent. But actually the last 2-3 months I went through quite a bit of challenge in physical. After that actually I told you I think I got otitis media, perforated my drum here. When I went to Ipoh on the flight, I think the secretion came out. Actually I came back, saw the ENT. Oh, you perforated your drum. And not only that, I think my blood, some of you may not know, my PSA has gone up very high. So one thing after another for the last few months, and this one now recover. Drum okay already. Actually can heal, I didn't know can actually heal back. So my hearing was, when I was worship, I couldn't hear myself very well. But now okay, thank God. And 2 weeks ago I had a fall. In front of my house, I asked my maid to clean the step, the floor. Then one of the tiles was slippery. I slipped down 2 steps and hit my knee, my right knee and my heel. I still went for the walk after that, my goodness. But anyway, I've been having this. But thank God. God is good. God is good. I mean, as I say, we can be sick, or we can be ill, but God's grace and God's healing is real. When we find rest in Him and we trust Him and we continue. I mean, you know my schedule last 2 months since I came back from UK is quite heavy. Every week I've been preaching and all the week and some more. And Pastor Gunn was away. It was a very challenging time when Pastor Gunn away, when there were 2 cases that was like, you know, one already passed away. One was like, to me, the clinical condition, anytime one. Thank God. God held on until He comes back for the second one. So, but whatever I'm saying is that, please, we live, we do experience miracles. We do experience the power of God in our life when we come and submit to our Lord Jesus and really rest in Him. He is our peace. Jesus Himself is our peace. And this is a wonderful way. But don't run ahead of time. Like Paul, actually, I just close with this. Paul teaching on spiritual gift. Now, this is a very useful chapter to look at if you are looking for all these supernatural miracles and power, prophecy, healing, Paul teach about. If you go to chapter 12, what Paul was teaching on the supernatural gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits and tongues. That was the chapter. And the church in Corinthians, the danger was that they exhort the spiritual gift and they run away with it and cause a lot of problems in the church. So that was what Paul was dealing with. And then he closed with this. In chapter 13, verse 8 to it. Say, love never fails. Come back to it. One thing most important, you can be prophesying and have all the things, but you have no love, no use. No use, please. Come back to love. When we have given a spiritual gift to exercise God's power, the Spirit's power in our life, take hold. It's for edification of everybody here. It's for the good of the body of Christ, not for your personal gain or reputation. So always use love that holds you together. Love never fails one. But then he went on to say about the gift, but where there are prophecy, they will cease. You will disappear one. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away, all this special gift. For we know in parts and we prophesy in parts. See, the manifestation of the gift is also partial. But when we completeness come, what is in part disappears. Now, Paul is talking about two things here. Today, in this kingdom, all this prophecy, all this special knowledge, all this healing, all this power, miracles, please hold it together by love. But they will disappear one day when heaven, when the kingdom of God come fully. You don't need anymore. But here, you always have part of it, not in full. Don't try to say, I pray every time you must be healed. No. God will heal, no doubt. Same thing for all the gifts that God gives us. It's only partial. Prophesy so you won't be full one. For now we see only a reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face with God. Here, whatever we see is a glimpse of the fullness of the kingdom, of the heaven, of the perfection of heaven. We can look forward to that, but what we are beginning to see, wow, so good one. It's so good that you can look forward, that inspiration for us to go and live what God asks us to do and obey Him and trust Him. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So let us be clear. We are so confident in the Lord, of His goodness, of His mercy, of His power, of the peace, and all that thing that He has promised us. No doubt. But at the same time, we are comforted that despite what we don't see, we already know. Just like me, I look at my body. Am I fully healed? Yes. Because when I wake up, I got a perfect body. I'm here. It's already done. Not here, but fully healed. Your marriage, your family, yeah, broken here, here and there, trouble, fully. Everything, every part of our life. So let us live with that supernatural power of God, of the eyes to see God again. The resurrection is the one that brings all this about. That's why resurrection is so important for us. When you're baptized, you die with Christ, but you're raised with Christ when you are being baptized by the Spirit. That's what the significance of baptism. You have received a new life. You are a new creation. Now you are fully belonging to God, led by His Spirit to live the new life in Christ. A very, very good life. So, Holy Light, let's continue. Build a strong, healthy Christian marriage and family here and aspire to look forward to the perfect family in the coming days. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today as you close the session with the last argument, the second last argument with the Sadducees. You have revealed to us this wonderful plan of yours for us in our marriage and our family. But we also thank you for revealing to us the power of your resurrection in our life, and also to live with this peace and this power of God, of the Holy Spirit in our life today. So speak to us. And of your love for us. Thank you. Reveal to us more and more of this love and this truth and the power that has come to us to live this life truly glorifying you and expand your kingdom here. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's rise.